Over in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we're going to talk tonight about teaching and modeling biblical separation. Teaching and modeling biblical separation. And let's pray together first. Father, bless, we pray tonight. Be with these men, these young men. Help us to understand truth from the Bible and how we ought to be that which is a peculiar people and why you have chosen us to be that way. And help us to see Bible truth tonight that would help us as leaders to be able to help others to grow to a different bar in their life. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. When I speak on this tonight, I think it's important that we understand as family members the role that God would have us to play when it comes to biblical separation. You know, how do we communicate biblical separation to people that really want to know? It seems to me like the world is getting more worldly and the churches are not too far behind. It seems that there is, by the way, if you view television of 10, 20, 30, and 40 years ago, you'll be able, just by viewing television, a drastic cultural change in America. You think of the days when there was the Leave It to Beaver shows, and you think of the days when there was the Andy Griffith show and stuff like that. And then you look at what Hollywood is producing today, you see that there's a drastic cultural change. Now, I want us to study some things tonight that will help us. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, and by the way, we love that chapter. We always want to go to Romans chapter 12 because we have verses 1 and 2. And we say, boy, and everybody knows verses 1 and 2, and we love that chapter. But in Romans chapter 13 deals with authority. A matter of fact, we ought to take time in our life to be able to study if we're really serious about what God has to say about being subject unto him. We ought to take time to study personally Romans chapter 13. What the Bible talks about when it talks about living a separated life. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that that be or ordained of God. So the powers that be are ordained of God. So when it comes to addressing teenagers, here's what we have. When it comes to addressing teenagers, they have two questions. Number one, who's the authority? Who's the authority? Number two, what does the authority expect? That's what they have. Who's the authority, and what does the authority expect? When a teenager comes up to me and they say, now, preacher, please tell me what is wrong with this and what is wrong with that, I always take them to the Bible. I show them what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because it bothers me that we have youth departments and academies and even Bible colleges that they still question, why? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And here's what we do, and if we're not careful, when somebody is immature as a Christian, we make a rule. That's what we do. Our response to somebody that's immature as a Christian is, well, I'll just make another rule. And that way they can follow the rule. And that's all we do. But we don't teach them what the Bible says. In the book of Romans, chapter 14, it tells us how to deal with a weaker brother, with a weaker brother. Romans chapter 14, look at it in verse 1. Just the first portion of it says this. It says, him that is weak in faith, receive ye. All right, so what am I supposed to do with somebody that is a weak person in the faith? Now, this is a Christian, but what do I do with a person that is a weaker brother or a weaker person in the faith? Here's what God says. God says, receive them. Doesn't say block them out. Doesn't say make them feel like they're isolated. Says receive them. Now, Romans chapter 15, here's what he does. He talks to us about those that are strong. Now, Romans chapter 14, he talks about the weak. Romans chapter 15, verse 1, look at that. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. The Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. The Bible says, and not to please ourselves. So what am I supposed to do if I'm strong? I'm supposed to bear the infirmity of somebody that is weaker than I am. Now that's Bible. All right, so there's a great contrast between Romans chapter 14 and Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 14 gives us instruction about the weaker brother. Romans chapter 15 gives us instruction about the stronger brother. So the stronger brother is always to bear the infirmity and to deal tenderly with the weaker brother. In contrast, here's what we see. We see in Romans chapter 14, the weaker Christians, and in Romans chapter 15, we see the stronger Christians. By the way, in every church, you're going to find out that a church is comprised of weaker Christians and stronger Christians. Okay, now when it comes to separation, here's what we have. We have people that many times do this. They're interested in only surface conformity. That's all they're interested in. They're not interested in a transformed heart. They're interested in, did they comply with the rule? Surface conformity. Now, that's not what the Bible teaches. I know kids from Christian schools, and here's what they do. They will dress right, walk right, and talk right as long as they're in school. But as soon as they get out of school, they don't dress, talk, or walk any different. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because they conformed to a rule, but they were not transformed in their mind and in their hearts. I think we're missing it. And by the way, listen to me. Why is it an indicator, and I think it is, that here's a young lady that doesn't value her body. What is that? Is that an indicator of somebody that's rebellious? No. It might be an indicator of somebody that's a weaker person. Do we understand that most of the time, young people that don't have standards is not an indication that they're rebelling? It's not an indication that they're rebelling. A young person normally that doesn't have Bible standards is simply showing that they're a weaker individual and they need a stronger individual to come along and to reach out to them and to help them and to train them. But what we do is we reach a plateau in our Christian life. Now, don't get mad at me, but we reach a plateau in our Christian life where we accept everybody that's in our box. But if they're not in our box, then we don't want anything to do with them. And may I say, that is not a scriptural philosophy. A scriptural philosophy is you reach out to everybody and you help them to become like the Bible teaches they ought to become. Now, how do we do some things like that? Well, maybe what we need to do is we need to be able to help that weak person to be able to understand how to become a strong person. Now, how do we do that? We do that by teaching them. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, God wants us holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we're not looking for conformity, we're looking for transformation. We're not looking for somebody that just conform. Okay, watch this. You can get a girl to conform at the age of 15 to the biblical principle of modesty. She conforms to the rules. That's what she does. All she does, conform to the rules. But if she doesn't make a heart decision, then when she turns 19 years of age, she changes completely. You know why? Because all she understood was the rule. See, there's a vast difference between raising godly kids and just raising a good kid. Any good kid can obey a rule. But a godly person wants to obey from the heart whatever the Lord Jesus Christ teaches. Okay, now wait a minute. So I require our men on staff. If they're on the pastoral staff, they have to have clean haircuts, sharp-looking haircuts, and clean shaven. Now, they have to do that if they're going to be a part of the pastoral staff. All right, now that's a rule that I lay down. All right, now wait a minute, watch this, though. If they leave the pastoral staff and they go off to do what their own thing wants to do, all right, they may change if that is not their conviction. But every place that you go will have some type of rule. Now, that's for my pastoral staff. That's not for my teachers. That is not for those that sing in the choir. But for those that are a part of the pastoral staff, there's a rule that is there. I had a pastor call me up and said, my teenagers are driving me nuts. I said, well, okay. Tell me about why they're driving you nuts. He said, every single one of them's got a cell phone. He said, so I made a rule, and my rule is this. You do not bring your cell phone on soul winning. You don't do it. That's my rule. He said, the very next week, 50% of the teenagers didn't show up. I said, well, why didn't they show up? He said, because it was the parents that bought them the cell phones and bought them the cell phones for their safety. And the parents now look at me thinking that I don't care anything about their teenagers. I said, did it ever occur to you that maybe you should have talked to the parents and explained to them that maybe you don't want them to use the cell phone while knocking on the door and going soul winning? But they could use it in an emergency situation. If somebody is running a little girl down the street and she's 14 years of age and they're trying to hurt her, don't you think that maybe it would be wise for her to be able to call 911 or call you and say help quick? See, the problem was that there was no reasoning in it. And rules without reasoning many times produces a rebel. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. You mean we're supposed to explain every rule? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying what you ought to do as a parent is you ought to take time to instruct your children as to why you're doing what you're doing. Why do you want them to? What's that called? That's called communication. Communication. You sit down with them and you talk with them and you teach them what the Bible teaches. You teach them your preferences. You teach them why you're going a certain direction. You want them to mature as a Christian. Now, here's what we do. Are you listening to me? We focus on managing behavior rather than developing a heart that produces the right behavior. All we do is we focus on, I'm going to manage this. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You can manage it, and you'll be fighting all the days of your life. And after they get out of your sight, they will change their behavior because you're not around to manage it. There has to be a heart transformation. You have to be able to show them exactly, and I'm going to show you how to do it tonight. How is it that you can get a teenager, how is it that you can get an adult to be able to change their mind about Bible truth so that now they embrace it instead of rebelling against it? What is it that you could put in their life tonight that would help them? Okay, let me give you some ideas. All right, you first focus on the spiritual maturity by Bible teaching. Now we have rules. We have rules and guidelines in our church ministries. We have rules and guidelines that's in our academy. We have rules and guidelines that's in our Bible college, and I'm here to tell you, we're not changing any of them. But we want our young people to understand that there is purposes behind the rules. Okay, so teaching is the key. As your children get older, then they have to make a heart change. They have to get their conviction. They need to know why they're doing what they're doing. Let me give you some statements tonight. Statement number one: model biblical principles of godly living. You as a man, you as a dad tonight, please listen to me. If you're preaching one thing to your kids and you're living another, you are preaching to the choir. If you're telling your kids, I don't want you to do this and I don't want you to do that, but then you're living a different lifestyle than what you're telling them to do, that is called being a hypocrite. And you are preaching to the choir. You're going to wind up losing that child. See, the Bible says in Mark chapter 1 in verse 17, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, now you go. Wait, are you staying with me? Are you with me? If you're with me, nod your head, say amen, do something. All right? For a dad to say, okay, well, I tell you what, you need to be a soul winner, and you get out there on Thursday night, and you get out there on Saturday, and you go soul winning, but that dad doesn't go, it's going to backfire on him eventually. Now, thank God you got teenagers that love God enough and they're motivated by Brother Moore to get out there and do what's right. But they need somebody to follow. Now, thank God he's a role model. But you need to rise. You need to raise the bar so that you become the role model. See, the Bible says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed them. What did they do? They forsook their very livelihood to follow the one that was doing what? That was leading. All right, wait a minute. That's our Lord. What about Paul? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So here's Paul. Paul said, hey, follow me. I'm following Christ. You follow me. It's a whole lot easier for your child to follow Christ if you are following Christ. All right? And so as a leader, we need to embrace a higher standard of living if we want our children to follow. You know, you using a leader to raise the bar will help your children to raise the bar. Now, look, wait a minute. That's not saying that a child, you listen to me, and teenagers, you listen to me tonight. That's not saying if you have a dad that's not doing right, that it gives you an excuse to disobey God. Because you will answer to God. You're going to have to grow up sometime in your life and do what is right, regardless of dad, regardless of mom, regardless of brother, regardless of sister. And you can't use your parents to wimp out and give an excuse as to how come you're not obeying truth. But at the very same time, those of us that are in leadership roles, we ought to practice principles of godly living. We have a generation of 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds today, and here's what they say. I'll live the way that I want to live, and it doesn't really matter. I'm here to tell you tonight, it does really matter. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is going to mimic you. Somebody is going to follow you, and you've got to set the higher level of influence in their life. I don't know if you've ever read about the requirements of those that keep the tomb of the unknown soldier. I was reading it the other day and I was shocked. Listen to this. The ones that are chosen to keep the tomb of the unknown, I'm not going to read them all, but that keeps the tomb of the unknown soldier has to make a commitment for life. Not while they're just guarding the tomb. They have to make a commitment for life. Here's their commitment. They're not allowed to say a curse word. Now, these are not saved people. But they're not allowed to say one curse word the rest of their life. They have to take that pledge if they're going to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. They are never allowed to drink alcohol. Never allowed to drink alcohol if they're going to be one that guards the tomb of the unknown soldier. And by the way, that's the tomb of a dead guy. Now, how much more should you and I see? Okay, here's what we got. In our Bible college, we ask our Bible college students to raise a standard higher than the average church member. You know why? Because they're leaders. In our choir, we ask them to raise the standard higher than just the average person that attends the church. Why? Because they're looked upon as leaders. Those that are bus captains, those that are bus workers, those that are Sunday school teachers, we say, look, you need to raise the bar. Why do you need to raise the bar? You need to raise the bar. Oh, come on now. Okay. You ask those that get their training at West Point. What is required of them? There's a higher standard for those that get their training at West Point than any other training outfit. Okay. And so what do? You raise the standard higher because of where you're at and who is following you. In our Bible college, to give you an idea, in our Bible college, I believe that we're going to produce or have a hand in or have a help to produce some of the greatest pastors that's going to be in our next generation. But guess who they're learning from? They're learning from you. They look at you as you teach a Sunday school class and say, well, that's the way I'm going to be when I become like they are. That's why I tell each one of our leaders, keep the standard, raise the bar up high. Amen. Raise it up high. We talk about casualness I was with a guy and he was a rock and roll player and he played rock music and all this. And he said, I'll tell you what, he said, I believe that God looks on the heart. I said, that's true. There's a Bible verse that says that. But don't forget the rest of it. Man looks on the outward appearance. And the only problem we have is man's going to judge you how he sees you, and please pardon us for being human. Okay, watch this. Some of us, here's what we do. We would dress up on Sunday, but we dress down on Wednesday. And I know some of you, and I'm not on you, I know you come straight from work. But there is people that's watching you. And they're saying, when I get your age, I want to be like you. Okay? So, but when you raise that bar up, then they've got, okay, watch this, okay? This guy I was talking to, he said, well, you know, I think I need to go down to where they are in order to reach them. He said he was a Christian. I think I need to go down to where they are, a long hair and mangy-looking guy. I think I need to go down to where they are, and I need to reach them. I said, that's right, but that's all you're going to reach. That's all you're going to reach. You'll reach those that are like you and below you. But I can reach people that's above you and beyond you, because you have put yourself down here. So not only can I reach these above you that you would never reach. You look that way, you smell that way. You'll never reach these because my type is not going to have any respect for you. But I'll be able to reach these here that are business and clean-cut people that will not even listen to you one time. And the only people you'll be able to reach is those that are like you and lower than you. Well, God wants us to try and reach everybody. All right, so we do have separational stance here at Parkside Baptist Church. But I'm going to tell you this. We have people that come to church, and they have all sorts of hairdos. I mean, they've got all sorts of things going on, okay? But you have to understand, they're coming as an attender. They're not coming as a role model. It doesn't matter what type of hairdo they have, they're welcome in this church. Look, don't you get so high and mighty. You think, boy, you know, that guy, he's got tattoos and he just don't belong here. He belongs here about as much as you do. Just fact of the matter is that he hasn't grown like you. But you being the spiritual one, I know what you're going to do. You're going to reach out and love him. I know that. I know that for sure. Because you are somebody that cares about the weaker. Okay, all right. And so if we're going to be leaders at Parkside Baptist Church, okay, so we ask them to take on the role model to raise the bar a little bit higher. Now I realize this. Some people have signed up for military duty. They said, well, I signed up for boot camp, but I didn't know I was going to have to go to war. I just signed up for boot camp because I thought they'd get me in good shape and I look good. No, if you sign up to be a leader, then another leader that is a leader over you will expect you to lead, not just to walk around and look pretty. See, the average leaders in churches, here's all they want to do. They just want to walk around and look pretty. I don't want to do any work. Just send them all to me, and I'll walk and let them follow my leadership. Oh, quit. Get your hands dirty. Get your hands dirty. Reach into somebody's life and get your hands dirty. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. All right? So you know children that could develop into the right type of leaders, but first they've got to have a desire. Statement number one, here's what I said. I said, model biblical principles of godly living. Statement number two, model a heart of compassion. Model a heart of compassion. Jude 22, the Bible says, and of some, it says, have compassion, making the difference. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 17, the Bible says this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, but whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So God says, if you really have compassion, you're not going to shut yourself up. You're not going to isolate yourself. You're not going to just, well, you know, just be with yourself. You don't do that. Not if you have bowels of compassion. So what do we need? We need a humble spirit. We need a compassionate heart. We need to do our part to be able, so somebody shows up and they've got a funky hairdo and they've got earrings in their nose and, I want to ask you a question. Okay, come on now. Come on, mature Christian, may I ask you a question? What do you do with that? That scared me. Well, you're not out in the world too much, are you? You've been cooped up too long in an office somewhere. Matthew Bontegal, I never forget. How long you been coming here? Brother Bontegal, where are you? How long? How long you been coming? 2 years. First time I went to their house, where's Matthew at? He had long hair. Long, I mean, you know, we look like cute boy. Long hair. You remember, you showed me a picture, didn't you? Long hair. Well, here's what happened to Matthew. He came into the youth department, and he saw a bunch of other guys that had sharp haircuts, and then he went, made a decision on his own, and got a sharp-looking haircut and looks like a man. One reason, influence. Another reason, nobody shut him out. Our kids were not stuck up. They pulled him in. They were friends with him. Hey, great soul winner. Led people to Christ on the street. Led people to Christ over the phone. You know why? Because somebody had compassion. Somebody reached out. All right, wait a minute. Okay. Now we're not talking about the Bible Belt of the 1950s. This is a different generation. You know, we have to understand that we have two choices. Either we bury our heads and we surround ourselves by all the rules to protect ourselves, or we have compassion and we reach out to somebody and train them how to have Bible convictions from the Word of God themselves. Now, that takes time. It takes investment. Okay, statement number one, here's what I said. I said this, model church principles of godly living. Statement number two, model a heart of compassion. Statement number three, model a life change from within. A life change from within. Here's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 says, not with eye servant as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's from within. From within. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, what do you do with that person? They show up, and boy, they've got the long hair and the tattoos and the tongue rings and the wild colors. What do you do with them? You befriend them. You say, well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you chose our church to come to. All right? Then, as God begins to work in their heart, they will change from the inside out. Brother Boak, who was that fella? Who was that fella you led to Christ, had the long ponytail? Who's that guy? You know, and then there was a transformation there, wasn't there? A transformation. Where'd that transformation come from? It came from within. It came from within. You know, in our choir, we say, hey, look, if you're going to join our choir, we don't want you smoking. You know, going out getting drunk, watching all sorts of dirty films, having the attire that's unscriptural, that's not becoming to a Christian. Okay, all right. But now, we're not going to tell somebody in our church, now stay with me now, I'm helping you. We're not going to tell somebody in our church, well, you've got to do all these things in order to be a church member. Oh, come on, stop being so holy. You know, you grew. You think that you just arrived the way you are tonight. I got news for you. You weren't born the way you are tonight. Now get off your stinking high horse tonight and listen to me. It took you time to grow. Now you loosen up. You give somebody else time to grow. You got that high, and you got that nose in the air like, boy, you know, look at me, look at me. I am looking at you. That's all I've got to look at. But you understand, you give people time to grow. Now you love them, you help them, you walk beside them, you don't get mad at them, you don't shut them out. You help them to grow little by little, and you be patient with them. You be patient with them, okay? It's going to take them time to clean up. There has to be a heart transformation before it shows up on the outside. You know, anything that is a growing substance will eventually, stay with me now, good statement. Matthew, you have this one? Are you ready? You ready for it? You write it down. Here we go. A growing substance will break through the surface. A growing substance will break through the surface. If it's growing, eventually it's going to break through the surface. And so you have to understand. Now, here's what we've seen so far. We've seen this. We model, we model, we model, we model. That's what we do. So what do we come to do? We come to church and we decide that we're going to model biblical principles of godly living. We come to church and we decide we're going to model a heart of compassion. We come to church and we decide we're going to model a life change from within. Now, let me give you some things that help you tonight. Are you ready? Then you teach what the Bible says about the matters of separation. Then you teach what the Bible says. Now, you let the preacher do the preaching. You let the preacher do the preaching. You don't get on some little stool and rear back and turn loose. You let the preacher do the preaching, and you do the teaching. Okay, Isaiah chapter 28, and verse 10, the Bible says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Boy, that sounds like work to me. Sounds like you're giving little bitty bites at a time. That's what it takes. Okay, and so you say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my kids to dress right, so I'm going to lay down a rule. Okay, and I'm for it. I'm for it. Hey, I'm for it. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm for it. But in the process of doing that, you better couple that truth together with the Holy Ghost of God and let it take seed, or it will never break surface on its own. It's got to be down in here. You've got to spend time with your kids. You cannot depend on the academy to raise your kids. You can't do it. You can't depend on Brother Moore in the youth department to raise your kids. You cannot do it. You have got to talk to your kids. Okay, I'd rather take 3 years in helping a girl to make a decision based on modesty than to have a standard that she would never accept and to drop it. Now, we're going to have both, but if I had my rathers, it would be this. I want that girl to make a heart decision. I want that girl to make a heart decision. Now, what we're looking for is a transformed heart. That's what we're looking for. You know, you have that transformed heart. And by the way, where does it come from? Well, the Bible says that God's people hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, people want to know what's right. I had a guy ask me today, outstanding church member in this church. He's been coming here for 15 years. Outstanding pillar in the church. Here's what he did. He wrote me an email today, and he said, preacher, he says, all the years I've heard about tobacco, and I believe it's wrong, I think, but I have no idea why it's wrong. Pillar, 15 years right here. I have no idea. Faithful here tonight. I have no idea. Everybody's looking around. Who is it? Who is it? I have no idea why it's wrong. Now, by the way, to his great advantage, he asked the question, which most Christians are afraid to do. Well, if I ask a question, they might not think that I know the Bible. Well, if you don't know the Bible, why fake it? It would be better to ask a question and learn what you're supposed to do than not to ask a question. All right? And so some people develop faster than others. Some people have a greater hunger. You know, when some people go to eat, they eat more than others. Have you ever seen that? Greater hunger. Okay. When our girls go to banquets, we say, okay, now don't get mad at us, but we say, okay, we're going to have a time where you put the dress on and you come and we're going to check it out. We're going to make sure that you don't embarrass yourself, your parents, your God, or this church. Now, Parkside Baptist Church has been doing that for a long time. You know, the people that have trouble with stuff like that is a person that has an unsurrendered heart. That's the people that have trouble with that. Well, you're not going to tell my little girl, my little boy, you're not going to tell them. Okay, why? Why? Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 9, the Bible says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Okay, so we ought to have a still enough heart that we say, Lord, I just want to please you. You speak, and I'll hear it. You speak, and I'll hear it. And you let God speak to you. Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know, be still, be still, be still, and know that I am God. I am God. He said, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. How's he exalted among the heathen? How's he exalted in the earth? By you being still and you knowing him. And you knowing him. Again, we're looking for a heart transformation. We're not looking for conformity. We're looking for people that are transformed in the heart. Okay? Now, here's what I said. I said this. I said, you teach what the Bible says about the matters of separation. Let me give you A. In every relationship, there's a scope of influence granted you. In every relationship, there's a scope of influence that's granted you. All right, give you an idea. I go door knocking. I go door knocking a lot. Here's what happens. I go door knocking. Somebody comes to the door, and I don't look appalling. I dress up. I don't wear this thing here, but I'll dress up. And I go to the neighborhoods. I look sharp. All right, because I don't look appalling, because I dress up, they grant me 10 minutes of influence. That's all they give me. My scope with them is about 10 minutes of influence. That's it. That's it. In other words, I did not come up and harass them. I didn't come up in a hostile fashion. And so when I knocked on the door, they gave me 10 minutes of kindness to be able to say what I'm going to say, and that's it. That's it. They thought that I was a non-hostile type of person, so they granted me the privilege of having that 10 minutes of influence. Okay, wait a minute. Statement B. Influence is a gift and a sacred trust. Influence is a gift and a sacred trust. Now, don't squander it. Nurse it. Don't squander it. Nurse it. When somebody comes in your class to hear you teach, they said, I'm going to give you 30 minutes to influence my life. Now, don't waste it on just announcements. You teach them the Bible. Don't waste it on telling them stories about yourself and how grand you are. You teach the Bible. Use the influence that you've got. When somebody gives you a little influence, then you take that influence and you use that for good. When someone gives you influence to be able to hear them in a small amount, then you better make the best of the small amount that they gave you. When you abuse your influence with somebody, you will lose the right to influence them again. When you abuse your influence with them, you will lose the right to influence them again. They'll shut you down. Okay? And so what are you going to do with that? All right? Here's what you do. You take and you be that person that's going to influence new people when they come. You influence them when they come. What are you going to do with that influence? You know, now somebody comes to the church. Okay, what do you do with that? You take and you help them to fall in love with the Bible. Help them to fall in love with people around the church. Help them to fall in love with the pastor. You know, some people come to church. And, now watch, they love me, but they won't agree with anything I say. Now, they may like the way I say it, but they won't agree with it. But they like me as a person. Now, as long as they like me as a person, they're allowing me to have influence in their life. Come on, if you're with me, say amen. Amen. So as my scope of influence rises, I can help them more. Listen to me. As my scope of influence rises, I can help them more. When they allow me to become their pastor, not just their preacher, then I can help them more. When they allow me to become their friend, I can help them more. The more that you allow somebody to spend time with you, the more they can influence you. Okay, watch. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. Now, wait a minute. What are you doing? You're getting to know him, aren't you? Now, what's he going to do? He says, and he shall direct thy paths. All right, so the more, okay, so there's an unconditional love. Now that's not holding to a certain image, that is earning the right to influence. All right, let me give you C and I'm done. Okay, then you minister in the scope. You minister. Now the word minister is not a Methodist word. It is a Bible word. It means to serve. So you minister in the scope of influence that they've given you. You can only lead them to the measure that they've allowed you to lead them. That's the only place that you can lead them to. Somebody says, well, I'll listen to him preach until he hits this thing. Buddy, once he hits this thing, I'm shutting him off. Okay? What you said is you're going to allow me to influence up until a point. But then at that point, you become your own pastor, and you decide that you will pastor yourself. Hello? well, you know, I'm going to, Brother Bulkley's that principal over that school, and I'm going to let him tell me what to do with my kid to this point. Then after that, I disown him as the principal, and I become the principal. Okay? Well, now, wait a minute. It's getting worse. Boy, you know, Brother Moore, you know, he's in that youth department, and he's going to have this much influence with my kid. But I tell you what, there's some things I don't agree with about him. So he's only getting this much. Boy, Brother Jonathan, he's over the children's department. And, you know, I know he's getting older. But he's only going to... Hello? Brother Palmore, you know, he's over the... Hello? Now, wait a minute. Here's what we do. Are you ready? To the degree that you cut off godly influence in your life is to the degree that you become less godly. There's no man in here that is a self-made man. Nobody. You didn't get to where you were because you are who you are today. You had somebody that influenced you. And now you think that you're Superman. The only problem is you're walking around trying to take off into the air and you forgot your cape. You can't do it. You need influences in your life. All right? And so they cannot influence somebody that they have not earned. You have to earn the right to lead. You don't demand it. Husband says, well, I tell you, you obey me because I'm the husband. I'm telling you, if you have to tell your wife that, you're a sorry husband. You are a sorry specimen of a husband. You don't think she's figured out who she's married to? You think she's got you confused with the guy down the street? You earn the right to lead. Now, how do you do that? Here's what you do. Don't be somebody. You know, I tell you, okay, one little rabbit trail. I preach with preachers, and it bothers me. I'm just being honest with you. That think that they're so high and mighty that they don't have time to shake people's hands. It's like their under armpit don't stink. Now, don't do that. Would you love people? Spend time with people? Can I tell you something? People are people. Don't be afraid of them. They're not going to bite you. Well, you know, if I get close to them and I tell them what the Bible says, the truth, then they're going to take and shut it down. Well, if they shut it down, first off, they're not shutting you down. They're shutting down truth. So why are you taking it so personal? Why are you? Well, you know, I just don't see it that way. You know, you can disagree with somebody and still be their friend. Did you know that? You know, I can love somebody that would disagree with me and still love them. Are you listening to me? But when I look at that, here's what I see. I see that if a person's not obeying a Bible truth, I look at the book of Romans and I treat them as a weaker brother. But I'm there to help them obey truth. I'm not there to help them. Stay with me now. I'm not there to help them to draw them closer to me. I'm there to help them to draw them closer to Christ. Because one day Brother Wells is going to be dead. Now, I'm not in a hurry. I was telling Tim and Angie tonight, I said, you know, I'm flying out tomorrow to the Philippines. And I said, I land in Korea. And I said, if they don't shoot me down with a missile, I'll fly out of there too. All right? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. I'm saying that your influence is important. Your influence is important. Use the influence that God has given you. Okay. All right. Watch me. All right, Jared, come here. Illustration, I'm done. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Here comes a guy to church. And I'm going to show you two illustrations. I'm done. Here comes a guy to church. He don't look like this. He doesn't look like this at all. I mean, you know, he's got the beard that hangs down in locks. You know, he's got the mustache that hangs down, and if he's going to eat, he's going to have to part it to get something in. He's got more earrings on his ear than most women have in their jewelry box. Hello. He's even got a muscle. And on the muscle, he has a tattoo. Hello. He comes to church, he's got sandals on. He's got long hair. He smells like he hasn't taken a bath in 4 months. When he smiles, he still has cheese between his teeth from last month. All right, now, let me tell you, in the average Baptist church, you listen to me. In the average Baptist church, the teenagers are going to get over here. And the average church member is not going to shake their hand. Now, I'm telling you, that is far from being godly as you can get. Look, I don't have to become like he is. Look. Before I got saved, I was different than I am now. Now, I was never that bad. All right? But I can come over and say, hey, man, I'm glad you're here today. I really am. I hope you enjoy the service. But God is going to do something in your heart today. Now, you stay and you enjoy this thing. You do that, won't you? Good. Let me introduce you to a friend. All right? And I'll introduce him to somebody I know that would take him in. Sit beside him, witness to him during the invitation time, maybe bring him forward, help him. All right? Now, then I'm going to sign him up for that adult discipleship program. Get him in there. Let him grow a little bit. As he grows on the inside, he'll be transformed on the outside. But it's got to start on the inside. Man, you're looking at me like a calf staring at Newgate. It's got to start on the inside. And here's what we want. We want them to show up just like this. That's what we want. We want them to show up in a $200 suit, looking sharp. We all want that type in our Sunday school. We all want that type. Hello? Hey, man, it is great to see you. Man, let me introduce you to all my friends. Man, come on, you're going to like this. Hey, guys, look at this guy. All the guys gather around. Hey, man, great to see you. Okay, don't you dare forget that Christ sat with publicans and sinners. Don't you forget that. Okay, now, what am I going to do to help him? I'm going to influence him. Now, I'm not going to, he says, hey, man, I came to your church. I had a party Saturday night. He says, would you come? Man, we'll be smoking weed. There's going to be girls there. We're going to be smoking weed. Come on, man. Come on. We're going to have liquor. We're going to have a party. All right? I say, you know, I don't do that. I really want to serve Christ. I can be a witness to him. I really want to serve Christ. I'm proud of you. You're coming to church. Now, you keep it up, man. You keep it up. We got Wednesday night Bible study. Now, you come and hear that Wednesday night Bible study. Would you do that? Not your head this way. Would you do that? That's good. All right. Now you come. 7 o'clock. What time? Now you be there. Okay. And I'll sit beside him. Okay. Hello. Hello. And I help him to grow. I'm not looking for conformity. I'm looking for transformation. Now, when they come to our school, they're on our turf. When they come to our school, we tell them, okay, because we represent biblical Christianity. So we have guidelines, because if we let the young people in our Christian school set their own guidelines, don't forget, they're weaker, and they're going to set the wrong ones. They don't know. If we just let everybody in the church decide that, okay, I'm going to rise up when they're not ready to teach a Sunday school class. We let them rise up and teach a Sunday school class, and they're still a weaker person. It's going to hurt them. It's going to damage them. We don't want to damage people. They're going to get mad at us. They're going to leave the church and say, well, that's just not right. They're telling me I got to do this in order to be a leader. I'm not going to that church. You know why they got offended? Because they were a weaker brother, and we tried to put them in a stronger position, and they didn't fit. They weren't ready for it. And so we damaged them. Okay? Now, what I need to do is I need to take that weaker brother and say, come on, let's grow together. Now, I'm telling you, we have too many good Christians in this room that are living and dying to yourself, and you're not pouring your life into somebody else. Now, shame on you. We need a bunch of Christians, I'm telling you, thank you, be seated. We need a bunch of Christians that are men that say, I'm going to come to that adult discipleship program. I'm not in the choir. I'm not helping Brother Jonathan in the Bible Blazers. I'm not helping Brother Moore and the Young Fundamentalists. But I tell you what, preacher, I know you got the material, and I'd be willing to take somebody through and be able to help them to grow. We have people in this room. To be honest with you, you need to get in it yourself so that you can grow. So that you can become strong and lead somebody else. Now I'm saying, here's what that Bible's talking about. There are those that are stronger. The stronger are supposed to help the weaker. That's what we're supposed to do. Now you're not supposed to be high and mighty. You're not supposed to be stuck on yourself. You're not supposed to think that you have arrived. But you're supposed to help somebody that's not, listen to me, that is not being transformed. You're supposed to help them so they understand, okay, all right. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it. Talk to me. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it. Is that right? So not everybody that you show Bible truth to is going to say, I want that. So some people, you can only take them so far, and they say, this is as far as I want to go. Here's what Christ said. He said, follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. They were not going to become fishers of men until they followed him all the way to become the fishers of men. But some people will say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll follow you down the path until a stone hurts my foot. And then it's too tough for me, man. I ain't going. I got to sit down for a while. You go on. Hello? There's some people who say, I'll follow you down the road until I twist my ankle. And then, oh, man, I tell you what, I got to call mama. Hello. But then there's some people that says, look, I'll tell you what, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. I'm going to give myself totally to Christ, and it does not, I don't have an opinion. I don't have an opinion. If this is what God wants, this is what God is getting, and I'm keeping my opinion to myself. And I'm just going to obey. All right, that person is going to go great, great heights with God. You know why? Because they're letting God transform them. And anything, any substance that's growing will eventually break through the topsoil. Will eventually.